Hey, what's going on, everybody? M Trashed here, and the Backyard Boys. We've got Cactus HD and True Vanguard, my two favorite gamers. This is the RGH Real Gamer Hour podcast, and we're going to get into a bunch of juicy topics today. How you guys doing?
Good. I didn't even realize the countdown was up. I'm over here shooting the breeze with Cactus.
Hell yeah. No, we're in it, and there's lots to talk about today, so we've got like 15 different topics. We're going to try to hammer through all of them, and who knows what we'll start ranting and raving about after that.
Yeah, hold on.
What was it?
I didn't just start recording now, by the way.
Oh, nice.
You came in here and you're like, make sure you're recording TV and don't fall asleep after the show.
I said, TV, actually send your recording to our editor. Our poor editor, it's like midnight. He's like, I haven't gotten TV's like recording. And I'm just like, I want to say like, dude, you're not getting it until tomorrow. Like,
no, he's passed out.
Dude, I crashed on the couch after the show last week. I was gone.
I promise everyone if they tune into the podcast, I'll give you a personal thank you as well as a kiss on the cheek. So I can't wait to do that. Maybe in Guardian Con, we'll see what happens.
Sheesh.
But absolutely massive topic. Dude, I swear, like by Wednesday, it's like the banger topics.
That's right.
A lot of them happened like just before. Like, ooh. So which one are we starting with here? Because there's so many.
I think we got Nintendo up first on the list.
Nintendo's first. Okay.
So Nintendo stuff. They not only did they release Pokemon where half of the textures don't load into the game. Bro, I had to, like, quick tangent. The new Pokemon game looks like an N64 game. It looks awful, in my opinion. Like, absolutely awful for how much money they have. And I know it's on the Switch, and they can't run any games on the Switch.
Yeah, that's...
But Genshin looks better.
Yeah.
And it's a mobile game.
Look at, like, Wind Waker. Look at Wind Waker on GameCube. Look at the Breath of the Wild. Like, it's just night and day how different they look. It's pretty brutal.
It's also kind of brutal, like, what... I'm sure the developers themselves like kicking themselves like, what's our draw distance on the Switch? Oh, 6 feet? Great. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, imagine if they could make that game on like a PS4, dude. They'd be absolutely like, it would be like double the fidelity on a PS4 or triple, you know what I mean? So they are absolutely handicapped by the system. That's
no
for
doubt.
Sure. But at the same time, you said, Tash, who is making more money than Pokemon? Any game they put out, no matter how bad.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Banger. Like insane sales. Like, they just have the fans absolutely gripped by the balls, and they're just like, whatever they put out sells like hotcakes. So you'd like to see a little bit more. Finally, this one was a bit innovative, though. It was finally a little bit different than the formula.
I want to be fair to the game. They did at least take some chances
and take some shots at,
you know, a different take on the open world Pokemon experience. And also, to be fair, while the visuals are a pain point for a lot of people, I think the dedicated Pokemon crowd has come to expect that it's gameplay driven. It's an experience. It's not necessarily driven by, you know, the graphical feats that it can accomplish. We've been playing stuff since, you know, in the Pokemon world, since it was just, you know, the OG Game Boy with no color, you know, and we still look back at those being some of the best days of Pokemon. So I think the diehard Pokemon fans don't really seem to care too much about the graphics. They're enjoying the new spin on it.
But, like, it's probably due for them to do a little bit better. Now, I don't know if it's because they lack money, but in an attempt to maybe get more of it, Nintendo decided to send out over 1,000 copyright claims to one channel.
Yeah, when that dude woke up, his email was to check your phone. Oh my gosh. Oh my god. Like, that guy probably had like a heart attack when he looked at his email. Cause imagine waking up and having, I think it was something like 1300. At least that was like initially, it might've been even more.
Yeah.
Copyright claims. And it was all like super old, like soundtracks and stuff. And they weren't even monetized on YouTube.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, cause a lot of people are really quick to assume, hey, it's their property. Let them do it. You know? And to an extent, but at the same time, like, some of the tracks that got striked are tracks on games that are, you know, as old as I am. You know, you're talking like, what does Nintendo want you to do? They're not offering those soundtracks, you know, on their own channel. Like, you'd have to go out and buy a 30-year-old video game and fire it up on a 30-year-old device.
But you can't. To listen Logan, to that track. Because Logan Paul has all of them.
He's got all the Game Boys.
Inside his little table.
You know? Freaking A. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, I would get it if they were offering that themselves. But they're not. Like, they're hurting themselves by killing the nostalgia. You know, people just want to listen to old Nintendo tracks. That's it. Why can't the people have that, Nintendo?
I know, like... It's like, do you lawyers have, like, nothing better to do? Like, the employee that did that, they couldn't be doing anything else. They couldn't have been fixing the draw distance on the new Pokemon game. Like, you have nothing better to do than, like, copyright claim this channel 1,000 individual times.
Right.
And I get, like, if you broke the rules, you broke the rules. It's just the necessity of going after them, it just seems a little off.
Yeah. And it's just, Nintendo... Just one of those things, man, where... Their like reluctance to embrace this online community has really hindered it. Like, I would imagine if they were out there, apparently Nintendo USA is a little bit better to work with. But like, if they're out there like giving permissions and fostering communities,
they're like, earning a lot of favor. Yeah,
I really don't think it would hurt them at all. Like, I can't imagine that copyright claiming anyone who posts, you know, a little bit of your content is a good idea. I just think that's going to hurt your online communities.
I just don't think I would ever cover one of their games. Even if they have a banger, I'm like, I'll play it, but I can't risk covering it.
That's right.
I agree. I'm never going to, like, because you forget to edit out a tiny bit of background music and Nintendo sending lawyers, like, paratrooping through your windshield the next day and handing you the lawsuit. Like, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're shooting themselves in the foot, and it's weird, like, we're going to talk later about, you know, this massive, like, Bungie, Destiny, all that stuff, right? Like, what's Nintendo been doing? Nothing. Like, all Nintendo has been doing is, like, shutting down tournaments for Smash Bros., giving out $25 coupons for their official Splatoon tournament. Like, Nintendo's doing nothing. They're not acquiring any studios. They're making the games they know how to make, which is extremely low effort Pokemon games. You know what I mean? Mario games are sweet, but like, there hasn't been a... When's the last Mario Kart? Like, 8 years ago.
The difference between Nintendo and everybody else in the game industry is that everybody else
has access to the internet.
Everybody else is competing against each other. Like, Sony and Microsoft are competing against one another, and Nintendo's over here duking it out with their fans. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. No,
Sony 100%. And Microsoft are over here trading blows, and then there's just Nintendo over there beating its own community. Like,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, we didn't buy any studios today, but we shut down the Smash Bros. Competitive scene. Don't worry, guys. We got them on the ropes. Like, what are you doing, Nintendo?
Do you know what I'm wondering, right, though, is like, at some point, does that goodwill all go away? And, like, we grew up on Nintendo and Zelda and all these different things, but my son, he doesn't really care about Mario. He really doesn't. Yeah. Like, he'll play a game, but when a new Mario game is announced, he's like, oh, is there? Cool. Like, he doesn't even follow any of that stuff. He's more interested in the other stuff. And, like, Xbox and PlayStation, they're going to be competing for that market, you know, my son. But once we all are... you know, gone? Like, who's playing the Nintendo games? I think the market share, if they don't start trying to gather it and, like, really reach the new audiences, I think that it will get hit long term.
You're totally right.
The last time they had a viral sensation where everyone got involved was Pokemon Go, and then they gave up on that, like, almost immediately. Like, I remember, like, everyone was outside trying to catch Pokemon. They could have upgraded and done some sweet stuff to that game, and they just, like, eh. They're like, whatever.
Cops. You hear the story about the cops that lost their jobs in the States because they went chasing after Pokemon instead of a robber?
Yeah, dude. I mean, that was... I remember, like, going to, like, my local, like, parks and stuff to catch Pokemon. There was, like, so many people there all also catching Pokemon. Like, everyone was walking around outside.
That's right.
It was crazy. But... aside from that, it's just the people who buy these Nintendo games are, like, Nintendo fans already.
Yeah, and Mike's absolutely right. I mean, just speaking from personal experience, like, we bought a Switch, we thought, oh, the kids will love it. And we have all the, we got the Mario Kart, we got Mario Party, you know, we get all that stuff. But what does my son want to play on the Switch? He wants to play Minecraft and, like, Lego City. Yep. But the second he played both of those games on a PlayStation or on my PC, he was like, why am I playing on this piece of trash? Like, he's like, no, I want to play Minecraft.
See,
like,
some
the render distance,
graphics.
You know, their load times. Like, he's just like, get this out of here. He's 8 years old this weekend, and he's already like, no, performance is important, you know?
Yeah.
And he's already done with the Switch, you know?
Especially when you, like, back in the day, Nintendo, you didn't experience any, there was no better performance, or it was so marginal you didn't notice. But, like, now, you know, you go play on a high-end PC for a little bit, and then you try to go back to the Switch, it's rough.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It's just an interesting story, but we got to move on to another new game, Dying Light. So this is Dying Light 2 just kind of came out. The embargoes have just released, so there's finally people posting their impressions and reviews and so on, and it's pretty mixed,
right?
So what I've seen is, like, there are people that say, hey, the game's fun, it's done some cool stuff, it's very innovative, it's very expansive. But on the other hand, I think the one article that kind of stood out to me is someone was saying, this has more bugs. I found this more buggy than Cyberpunk 2077.
That's rough.
Which is like, ooh. Like, that game had to be pulled from shelves. Sony had to be like, we're not even selling this game. That's how bad and, like, or how buggy it was. So,
and
like,
that was IGN saying it. So, like,
yeah.
You know, IGN has some weight for sure.
That wasn't Angry Joe. You know?
Yeah, so do you think that... Do you think that they'll do it again? Or do you think, like, because the main reason they pulled it, because it was, like, bricking consoles, I'm not sure if this is, like, to that severity?
You right. know, the thing is right underneath that tweet, DPJ is, like, weird. I played it for a few days, and I haven't seen any bugs. And SkillUp says, you know, Dying Light, it doesn't have the most originality or anything like that, but, you know, it swings for the fences, and it does pretty good in a lot of areas. There's some, you know, tech issues, but I overall recommend the game. So, I mean, it's tough to say. If you run into bugs, Ryan played Cyberpunk and grinded the hell out of it. I couldn't get past the tutorial. I couldn't finish the tutorial. So it's like it's going to depend on your system. It's going to depend on what bugs you encounter and probably the kind of player you are. Because depending on the perks you pick, depending on the weapons you choose, the upgrades you get, the quest lines you do, like, you can play a game like that so differently. You know, maybe people that are on, you know, because it's kind of like parkour, you can climb up on stuff and all that. If you're maybe more of a vertical player and you're up high on the buildings, maybe you get more bugs because you fall through it and stuff like that, right? It's really tough to say exactly, but
yeah,
I'm a little scared because I liked the first game and I want to play
it. I loved it.
And now I'm like, okay.
I'm going to do the same thing. I'm just going to not touch it until like 6 months from now. They're going to release some update or the first DLC or something, and then the game is going to be fixed, and then you can just get it then, and it's going to be a banger. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, true. And I mean, they're going to patch it.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just have such... I'm so hesitant to be optimistic.
The first...
Dude, are you okay?
Yeah. The first... I saw something like the first patch, the day one patch for this game has like 1,000 bug fixes.
Really?
I agree.
Yeah. So and it's like, obviously trying to fix it.
It also might depend then... It might depend because, like, SkillUp was also saying that there's, like, a tiered embargo. So, like, some people got to post yesterday and then he had to wait a while. And so, like, were they maybe playing on different versions, one with the day one patch, one without? Like, is IGN playing before maybe. The patch? I don't know. I've got no idea.
I'm just so hesitant to be optimistic because it's bitten me in the butt so many times recently. I was optimistic about Battlefield 2042. And we'll get to that soon.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later. But it's like, did my optimism pay off? No. No, it did not. And, you know, like, how many times have we seen games in the recent past launch with some bugs? And it completely killed the launch. It killed the vibe, killed the momentum before it ever had a chance to get off the runway. That thing was dead in the water. So, I don't know. As much as I loved the first game and as much as I want Dying Light 2 to be exceptional, I'm not ready to have any emotional attachment to it. And I'm just going to say, listen, I'm going to wait till it's half off or something. Maybe dive into it then. I got Witch Queen coming out in a few weeks anyways, so.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Why not? You've got no rush. Listen, if you haven't played the Dying Light games, if you're not a Mega fan, you waiting is you getting a better version of the game for 50% off or 70% off on a Steam sale, because they will discount it down the road. You're going to get a better version with, what did you say, a thousand bug fixes on the first patch.
Yeah,
you're just waiting for a better experience
by the time you get it.
And you can download it, you can get the discount, you can play it without any bugs, killing your immersion, you can play out the story, you're going to have a damn good time, and you're going to say, wow, what a great game. Instead of, you know, me, who, I probably should return to Cyberpunk, I probably should finish it, but I might never experience it because I'm like this bitter piece of trash, even though it's probably good now. I could probably get all the way through it, I'd probably have fun, it would be worth it, but I'm just like bitter now. Don't do that to yourself. Dying Light, I think, could be definitely one of those games where it's worth it. It's an experience, especially if you haven't played the first ones. I think you probably should, though. The story is pretty continued, you know, the same main character and everything from what I've seen, so.
The DLC was so fun in the first, so you could literally, like, tune your own dune buggy with, like, a cow catcher on the front and impale zombies while driving through the fields in a dune. Like, how's that not fun?
Yeah.
Man, we had a blast in that game.
Truly. Let's move on, though, to the next one on the docket. You mentioned Destiny 2. Witch Queen, Sony just bought Bungie for $3.8 billion. It's a damn war zone out here. We got Microsoft buying companies left, right, and center. Now Sony's like, hey, I should probably buy some companies too. They're trying to buy all these big AAA game devs, but this one is actually kind of a combo story because they also announced some live service stuff, which we'll get into, but this is a bit of a tactical play buying Bungie. Did they get Destiny? Yes. Did they probably get some insight on the new game they're making? Probably. And maybe that's why they pulled the trigger, right? It's tough to say how far along that is or where they're at, but if you're buying a company for $3.8 billion, Sony probably knows everything that's going on in the company, right? Or whatever's in the pipeline, we should say. Now, they also have a lot of expertise in Bungie. And, you know, they're getting the games, but they're also getting a lot of knowledge. Some of the people that work for Bungie have been in the game for like 20, 25 years, building huge AAA games, sprawling worlds, some of the best feeling shooters in the world. So, I mean, it's a good company to have that you're owning, right? Who does shooters better than Bungie? Not many. Maybe Respawn, but like,
it's also a company, like you said, you're talking about these live service games they want to pursue. It's also a company that has been through the ringer and has learned a thing or two. It's like those Farmers commercials. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Like, they have come through that whole journey of what does it mean to take a game and turn it into a live service, you know,
and
model.
And get absolutely roasted by your community. Like,
get crushed by your community, have everyone hate you, come out the other side and learn some stuff, you know?
Be doing all right.
And so they have a little bit of value in that regard, too. But one of the biggest things, obviously, that people were concerned about is, hey, I play on PC. Hey, I play on Xbox. What does this mean for me? Am I going to lose out on exclusives?
Am I going to have to go back on a PlayStation to play with a new exotic? Because there used to be a deal with Sony, remember? Like, the Hawk Moon was a PlayStation exclusive. So I think as soon as people heard that, they're like, oh, no, it's happening again.
Yeah. Monte Carlo was, too, wasn't it?
Yep. I think so. Yep.
Zen Meteor.
It was like exclusive for a year or something, wasn't it? And then
it was timed exclusive.
Maps too. Now think about that. Think about that.
In today's setting for
there was exclusive PvP
Sony
maps.
Sony gets a map pack. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Dude, they make two maps a year, and Sony gets one of them. That's devastating. They don't even make PvP maps these days.
Yeah, it's been 3 years since the last PvP map.
Yeah,
bro.
Exactly. So people were very concerned about it. But Bungie made a point, and they came out and said, like, hey, this is going to be the same thing no matter where you're playing it on. And they said, like, I think they pretty much poo-pooed the idea of exclusives. Now, they didn't say, like, they'll never be a Sony exclusive, because I'm sure there will be. Maybe it won't be to the degree of Armor, but certainly not. Got it. No.
I just don't see the exclusives thing. I don't see that happening because they didn't say for now. They didn't say, you know, for the immediate future, nothing's going to change. They said we...
Some advanced GGs, so I can stop yawning.
Thank God. But, you know, I think they pretty much put the kibosh on that. I think from what we've been seeing and what we've been reading, especially from Sony's end of things, I think this is less about how can we lean into exclusive content and duke it out with Microsoft and get a leg up on them with Bungie. I think it's less about that. I think it's more about what can we do with Bungie's IPs in other spheres. How can we take this to the screen and offer maybe a TV series? We're thinking about a movie or an animated series. How can we get their expertise? How can we lean into the other IPs that they're developing? You know, and I think it's less about duking it out and getting a leg up on the competition. I think it's more about expansion than it is about limiting the Destiny experience overall.
I think you're certainly right about that they're not trying to limit. They're not trying to take Destiny and take Bungie and then take those products and make them just on PlayStation. But I think they are striking a little bit back against Xbox here. So one of the interesting things was they obviously said, yeah, okay, Destiny 2 is not changing, at least to the Lightfall. They did say the saga until the Lightfall is going to be what it is. So maybe after, who knows, like Sony flexes their, you know, their brass is kind of like, okay, we're going to need some exclusives at this point forward. Like, who knows what happens after that. But Bungie also made a point to say our new IPs, whatever the next games we're developing, those are not going to be like exclusive to PlayStation. And I thought that was really interesting because I was like, oh, that would make sense. Like Destiny 2 is still, everyone can play it. It's their cash cow. They don't want to limit it. But then some of these new IPs, like who's to say Bungie can't make a PlayStation exclusive game? But the fact that Bungie said, no, we're not doing that really surprised me. And I think if I was a guessing man, remember we covered that Sony is basically trying to make their version of the Xbox Game Pass, apparently. Mm-hmm. It's rumored that they're going to come out with a Sony Game Pass because Xbox Game Pass is cleaning up. Like, they're getting a huge amount of new people all the time. They just bought freaking Activision, for goodness sakes. Like, Xbox has been making moves. And I think Sony's kind of like, crap, we got to do something. So if they come out with their own thing, they're going to need games to put on it. And so you might not see any like actual exclusive content like maps or exotics, but they might say, hey, Destiny 2 and all the DLCs are on Sony Game Pass. So It's the same game. You don't get any, because the Game Pass, Microsoft Game Pass does the same thing, right? Where it's like, you don't get like exclusive Xbox content. It's the same exact game. You just get it for free.
Wrapped up in a, yeah.
Yeah. So I think Sony could be doing that because they get all the Destiny content, which is huge. You probably see a lot of people like picking up that Sony Game Pass if they knew they would pay, you know, $15 a month or $10 a month and get every Destiny DLC for free and every season for free. It might even be more economic for them to do that. But then you also get the new Bungie games day one release on Sony Game Pass. Again, it's not an exclusive game, but it certainly is like a big get for Sony Game Pass. And so I think that they just need games to fill their roster. Like, if they're competing
some
with
heavy
Xbox
hitters.
Game Pass, yeah, there's so many games there, and getting Destiny 2, like, that's undoubtedly a heavy hitting game.
Mm-hmm. Now the question is, yeah, is it a heavy hitting game? How do we know it's a heavy hitting game? It might be skipping a topic here, but I think it's important to note.
Say, yeah,
they announced this week that they have over 1 million pre-orders for The Witch Queen. Over 1 million. That's a big number for a DLC. Like, that's absolutely massive. That was so much higher than I expected it to be.
Because that's just pre-orders. So, because like
that's you're a full X and a half.
And you're going to get last-minute Sally's. You know, like, I haven't bought it yet. I'm going to buy it, but I haven't bought it yet.
Oh, yeah. There's tons of
people that haven't bought it yet. And they're going to see people playing it on day one and go, what the hell? They completely remade the game. Bro, I'm considering making another channel because I want to play so bad. And my anime channel is so anime now that it's just like, I honestly think it would be a mistake to play my main game. Like, that is crazy. I spent 8 years building up this channel, and 7 of it was on Destiny. And it's like, that might be a mistake to play on my channel. Like, that's dumb. But, like, Bungie has something special here, I think, in the series long term. They've got stuff in the pipeline. And here's my thing. If Sony's buying them, they know about the final shape and all this stuff and like where it's going, but they're also going, okay, we're going to buy you for $4 billion. Then what? Then what? What are you doing after that? Where does it go from there? And do they say Destiny 3? Well, I'll tell you what. If they get $4 billion, that is a lot of people you can probably hire if you want to start building Destiny 3. Because
I think they already started hiring new people.
Because,
that is a lot of money.
They specifically said, we cannot build Destiny 3 unless we do a hiatus on Destiny 2, essentially. They said, like, content would pretty much have to stop on Destiny 2.
We don't have the bandwidth. Yeah.
It's just impossible. Not when you get $4 billion, though.
Or you could potentially even have, like, Sony lend you studios. Like, oh, this studio isn't working on a game. Like, just how, like, they got High Moon and Vicarious to help them on certain DLCs, right? Mm. This studio is going to take over and make a couple of Destiny seasons, right? With the help of Bungie, obviously. Or this studio is going to help just code. You don't necessarily need to know about Destiny to do, like, some base animation coding and stuff like that to help with Destiny 3. Like, so I think... and, you know, I made a video on this. I think, like, because of this purchase, Destiny 3 went from being pretty much impossible or, like, a long shot to, like, now, like, very possible.
A very realistic...
Now, that's not to say that they're going to do it, but if they want to now, it's actually, like, possible. Because the problem would be, like, how would you possibly get people to buy Destiny 3 if you have 2 years of nothing in Destiny 2?
Mm-hmm.
Like... That would be insane. That would be a big
very
ask.
Hard
maybe
to get
some
people
small,
hyped.
Yeah, you would have some small, like, you'd still have The Dawning and crap like that. But that's about it. You wouldn't have, like, Witch Queen size content.
And you'd probably want to end that game with the apocalyptic event that moves us into Destiny 3. Why the hell would we make another game? Like, we
the
need
clean
a,
slate. What's
exactly.
the wipe? Yeah.
And so you would need that. But, like, the other thing, too, is Bungie has made this amazing live service game. Like, they have one of the most successful live service games out there.
Nearly a million concurrent players right now.
And Sony just announced that they want or are making 10 live service games. So who are they asking for advice? Who are they asking for input on how to make it better? Bungie. There is such a great partnership here, right? There's such a great relationship here. They've struggled. They've succeeded. They've had good DLCs. They've had terrible DLCs like Curse of Osiris. And, you know... They've also integrated DLC. They've integrated microtransactions. They've integrated like Halloween events and Christmas events, right? They've done anything you could need in a live service game. They've done it. Shader systems, transmog systems, right? And so they have a
being unnecessarily greedy with shader and transmog systems.
Yes, absolutely.
They've done it all, baby.
But they exist, right?
So, I'm telling you, one of those, at least one of those live service games. Is a game that is currently being developed by Bungie. I'm making that assumption at this point.
I don't know if Bungie wants two live service games. They have their hands freaking full.
I'm thinking, after we already saw them double the size of the studio before this acquisition ever happened. They had already doubled the size of the studio, and the pace at which we were getting Destiny content change.
Well,
like, what are they working on?
Apparently, you know? I heard that they were talking in talks with Sony. For like
half
the last
a year,
like
whatever,
four to 5 months. So they announced this doubling size 4 to 5 months ago. So they could have like started this with the knowledge that like that Sony was going to buy them. Like maybe that's why they started this expansion.
Yeah. But have you seen their building? Have you seen the renovation of the Bungie building? Like, it's really crazy. I want to know how much it costs to do construction like that.
Is it the
downtown
giant,
Bellevue?
Is it the skyscraper going up behind them? Is that all Bungie's? Or, like, is it just...
No, it's an expansion to the... They're not in a skyscraper. So the Bungie... You've been to the Bungie building.
Yeah.
It's just, like, they've retrofitted that whole plaza.
Yeah. So put this into perspective for you folks watching. If you've not seen Bungie Studios, you don't know where it's located... There is a city called Bellevue. It is on the other side of the water of Seattle. And it is like, it's rich people district. Okay. This is like your big money making businesses that are just outside of Seattle want to go to Bellevue where it's like, this is where the rich people have. I mean, there's a Tesla dealership right beside Bungie Studios. And they're in the middle of it. So for them to do an expansion there has to be so expensive. I don't even want to know how much they spent.
Yeah, realistically, they could save a lot of money if they just opened up a studio in Ohio. They'd have the biggest building they could possibly get. So, but they wanted to stay. They wanted to stay. You know where they came up. So, I mean, it's a little bit respectable.
Quality of life too. It's like, do you want to come work at our studio in Ohio or in Bellevue and like work in Bellevue and go out for the best seafood you've ever had.
Do you remember the do you remember back when MLG was like, we want to invite you to come to our high rise in New York City and compete in this Destiny tournament thing that we're going to do live. It's going to be awesome. And then the week before, they're like, hey, we actually decided we're gonna host it in Ohio.
Yeah.
And then so we went to Ohio instead. That was like the biggest blue-balled moment of my career. We went from competing in downtown New York City to Ohio.
It does come with some disadvantages, right? Like, you're going to have to... If you want to attract people and they want to live near the studio, you're going to have to pay them potentially more than you would. I mean, the cost of living there is insane.
True.
So like a base level programmer in somewhere else would make a certain salary. If Bungie tries to pay them that salary, they're going to be like in a cramped little apartment, right? Because like the housing prices on the West Coast and Canada too are like absolutely insane.
So here is the other thing. What is Mark Noseworthy and Luke Smith's titles now?
What are those two up to, bro? What
isn't it like extended world and like multimedia? They're like outside. They partner with Sony. Movies, Netflix show adaptation for anime. Like, are they maybe working with Sony to build the lore and the world behind Destiny?
I think because Bungie's a video game company, people heard Sony and they're like PlayStation, right? Like definitely there's going to be some crossover.
Sony Entertainment.
Sony Entertainment makes a lot of movies, right?
Oh, not any big ones, right? None that have like broken crazy records or anything.
I think you can make a damn good anime out of Destiny. Because like
now, what are the crossovers? Like how there's everything in Fortnite? Is there going to be like Spider-Man?
Yes.
No Way Home Spider-Man?
And NFTs! No.
And NFTs Destiny 2, baby.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like they're going up and up. Pretty cool that they got bought out. I mean, good for them. I can imagine some of the people that work at Bungie. It's a private company, right? So they've got some sort of percentage of it. Like they got bank. They're done.
Someone said that like they're doing like $1.2 billion is going to employee retention. And someone I saw it was like a Reddit comment. It's like with their 900 employees, that's like everyone gets like $1 million or something like that. It's probably not going to be split evenly that.
Yeah.
But certainly it's like, okay, you don't want to go anywhere. Also, maybe we can finally get out of your apartment with 8 roommates in Bellevue. So that would be helpful too.
It's badass. So it's cool.
It's cool. I think, you know, I hope that like, you know, we think... And we hope that Bungie is better than somewhere like Activision. We found out recently that maybe they're not perfect, right? And I hope that, you know, Pete Parsons doesn't take $1 billion and run or whatever. Or, you know, the top old guard brass at Bungie, who, again, we've heard in this IGN article are still there, still get massive favoritism. Hopefully they're not like, oh, hey, here's my 6th cabin, like... sick, you know what I mean? Like, you're kind of like, hopefully they don't just like make away like bandits and then none of that money gets funneled down like where we see a
like
huge
Randy Pitchford,
like like Bobby, you know, all these like people at the top siphon all of this investment, all this money, and it doesn't trickle down. Now, again, hopefully Bungie's not like that, and certainly on Twitter they appear to be a more like, you know, a company that's not interested in that type of stuff. Let's hope that their like Twitter outwards facing persona is also what they do internally, and they actually use this money for not just the top employees but all the employees, and also reinvesting it in the game. Because $3.6 billion can recruit so many people, can open a new headquarters somewhere, and it really has like made all these things that we never thought are possible for Destiny 2 possible. And I think, and I hope that they reinvest in Destiny. The other worry is that they say, okay, you know, 90% of this huge investment is going to all our other IPs because Destiny 2 is already making money and we'll just reinvest that money. But in reality, it's like, you still need to continuously expand. You don't want to stagnate Destiny 2 and just have the content be like the same every single time. You still want to see an upwards trend of innovation.
That's right.
So
you want to see So you want to see more than one map every 2 years for PvP exactly. players?
Exactly. It's like, okay, you have $3 billion, make some PvP maps.
Maybe that two excuse, maps every 2 years?
That excuse is done. They're never going right. to hear the end of it, bro. Like,
dude, I'm telling you, I really hope that one of these days I wake up to the Twitter news that Bungie or Sony has acquired Vicarious Visions. I loved everything Vicarious Visions touched for They're Destiny. Great. Menagerie was a banger. Black Armory was a banger. Warmind was literally the best version of Destiny 2 before Forsaken. Okay. Everything they touched was great. They've got the experience with Destiny. They know what they're doing. I'd love to see Vicarious back on board.
Activision owns them, right?
They do. They'd have to pitch. They'd have to make a bid for him.
Yeah, like just go into a room like get Pete Parsons and then like who's the Xbox guy? Who's the Xbox
Major
guy?
Nelson.
Who's the Xbox guy?
I'm spacing on his name now that you're
putting me on the Xbox. Spot.
Phil Spencer.
I'm bad under pressure. Phil Spencer. Thank
get
you.
Phil Spencer.
I just wanted to see you squirm for a little bit.
Yeah, just get into a back room and be like, listen, bro, you play Destiny. You like the Warmind DLC. What a banger. Can we just buy Vicarious Visions? Like, please. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, give us Vicarious Visions. We need them. I do hope that happens. It's not going to happen. That's not how business works. But you never know.
I have a feeling that the next 10 years of gaming, I know that's a long time, but I feel like the next 10 years of gaming are going to be wild because some of these big companies are starting to realize like, oh, wow, more people are watching this video game on Twitch than the NFL this weekend. Like, wow, more people are watching these esports tournaments. More people are just watching YouTube videos. If you look at the amount of Did you guys see the actually, you probably didn't because it was posted just before this. YouTube out-profited Netflix by like $1 billion. A month. Like, it's just like crazy how big YouTube is, even compared to Netflix. Because it's like, well, Netflix, everyone has Netflix. People are watching shows all the time. You get The Office. Like, Netflix is one of the biggest companies ever. And it's like, oh yeah, by the way, YouTube trumps it 20-1. Like, it is so, not 20-1, but it's huge. And their revenue continues to increase. They just beat their earnings. YouTube is going nowhere but up. And gaming YouTube is a huge portion of it. There's going to be a Minecraft 2. I don't know when, but there's also going to be a new Elder Scrolls. There's Elden Ring. There's so many games that it's just going to keep going up. And Fortnite, they're going to make Fortnite 2. They're making Warzone 2. They're going to make Fortnite 2. They're going to make a Fortnite MMO, League of Legends MMO. Like, it's
once you have these huge IPs, you can expand them. So if you don't like Battle Royales, but you recognize Fortnite, yeah, you can play an MMO with it or whatever. Like, but also, again, the alternative media, Judson Watkins with the donation, thank you. But he's, like, talking about, yeah, like, it'll be books and merchandise and movie and TV series like Xbox did with Halo. There's literally the Halo TV show is coming to Paramount Plus soon. Yeah. There's a huge ad for it recently. Yeah. So yeah, like, you could easily do that with Destiny. It's a very well-known IP. It's a very popular game. And like, you know, especially Destiny, like, people are so into the lore. You know, like, Bife puts out a lore video every single time. People are like, oh, yo, you know what I mean? Like, or Ryland or whoever. Like, I don't know if you, like, have that with a lot of their games. Like, I don't think people are putting out, like, Captain
Price.
Yo,
we're going to get, like, an Aerosmith KDA K-pop song like they did for...
Yeah, okay, we're not that. But, like, people are really invested in the storyline and the lore, so if they come out with a TV show or a book or a manga or whatever, people are going to flock to that dude.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, let's move on now to Battlefield 2042.
Oh my!
Why is everyone groaning? Why is everyone groaning? Like,
the earnings report, baby, comes in, and guess what they say? We are very disappointed in the performance of this game. Well, no crap. You're the ones that told us we had to ship it, even though it wasn't ready.
hire us three. Just hire the RGH boys and say, guys, what should we do? And we'd say, delay it, you idiots. Like, don't put it out. It's not ready. You're going to regret this. Like, how is no one at EA being like, oh, like, this might not go well. Like, no one thinks that. Like,
yeah.
So not only do they say they're disappointed, which, like, obviously, yeah, it's like, yeah, there's like 4,000 people playing it right now. No
I can't get a game, man. I want to play it
on console. It's bad. So not only is that happening, they basically hit the nail in the coffin, so to speak, on this game, I think, for a lot of people. Remember when we talked about how they're supposed to have season one coming in March, and we said, like, hopefully that works out, but it's a pretty long ways away. And we were like, dude, like, this game's going to be basically dead, but if
it's going to be on life support, yeah.
They said, nope, it's getting delayed now. Season one is coming in the summer. So it's coming in, like, July, August or something like that. And it's like, bruh. Like, there's 4,000 people playing right now at peak 4,000, right? Average, way less than that. And now you're telling them to hang on with basically no content injections. I think they said, like, there's going to be, like, some skins and some random crap that's going to launch until there. Maybe a new map. That's, like, in contention.
Oh, well, but so, like, they said there's going to be a new map with a new season, but that was a while ago they said that. And at this point, I'm assuming that their promises are pretty hollow. So, yeah. I don't know.
It's just, like, if they could have hung in there and launched a banger season one in March, I think it would be like, maybe you could start turning things around with a huge injection of, like, two new maps, you know, like something like that. And then, like, tons of new weapons, all this stuff. But now it's like, dude,
that game shouldn't have launched when it did.
You're going to have such a hard time convincing people, hey, MTosh, you want to come back and play Battlefield 2042 in the summer?
They just sent me $1,000 worth of gear in a package.
I
played an hour. There's, like, a Logitech keyboard and mouse. There's, like, a 1 terabyte SSD and, like, all this stuff. And it's, like, I played it, like, a couple hours, like, one time, but...
Did you stream it?
I did the one time, but I don't know.
Like, a sponsor stream or just for fun?
Just for fun. So, I mean...
They're trying to get... Dude, I'm like level 50 or something in that game. I played it more than you. They didn't send me shit.
I know. So I played a ton. I put out videos on two different channels. I live streamed it. Yeah.
What the hell?
I got a whole stream, bro.
This is why they used up all the resources setting this dude who doesn't even play their game. They sent him
the $1,000 they spent on that could have funded a team for an hour to work on like bug fixes and stuff, you know?
I don't know. It's just kind of like, it's just such a, and there's no shade to you, Tash. Obviously, you just randomly got this thing. It's like,
oh, plenty of shade to Tash.
I take it back. With all shade to Tash, it's like, why are they spending money on this crap? Like, no idea. It's like, you know,
the best way to save face is not to send loot to some streamer that doesn't play your game.
It doesn't give a crap about your game. And it's like, dude,
I care.
But it's like the EA, the EA marketing team is on full force, and it's just that, like, disconnected from what's happening. It's just kind of like, they obviously thought this game was going to be huge, right? And everyone was going to be streaming it. We'll just send out packages to everyone, right? And
now it just looks weird. Do you think this is the end of Battlefield? Battlefield 1 or whatever, like the olden day one, did pretty average to below average, and then this one's doing pretty bad.
Battlefield 1 did well. Battlefield 5, which was the World War II one, did bad.
And 4 sucked at launch.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. But still,
to answer your question, I think it depends on a couple of variables. But here's the reality: is that they are creating a vacuum by not delivering on this product. They are leaving the market wide open for somebody else to earn the favor of their community. That's what they're doing. And that's what you don't want to do, because people are opportunists. And the second they smell blood in the water, they will come for your supporters. They will come for that revenue. And so right now, they have now lost so much favor with their community. There is now a vacuum where if another game steps into that gap and says, we will deliver the experience you wanted from Battlefield, those people owe DICE nothing. They feel no obligation to give DICE their money at this point, and they will run to whatever game fills that void.
They just want that experience. They don't care who the company is.
That's
interestingly...
Right.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2019 had a pretty rudimentary but Battlefield-esque experience, right? Their ground war, it was like, I think it was 64 player ground war in Call of Duty. I think it was like that high. It was like a lot of people, or maybe it was 50. It was a significant amount of players, right? And so just by the player count and then much bigger Ground War specific maps, it felt more Battlefieldy. And there was some tanks, like each team, it was very rudimentary. Like you'd have one type of vehicle, which was like the like BTR Bradley type fighting vehicle on each side. And that was about it. But it did give me some Battlefield vibes. Really importantly, they let you spawn off teammates, which is like the most important thing. Like that is so much of the Battlefield experience. Like, you know, you're hiding somewhere, you're like deep in enemy lines, you're like, yo, yo, spawn on me, please, please, please. And Call of Duty lets you do that. And then the next game after, they had a totally terrible version that didn't let you spawn off teammates, so completely trash. But they're coming out with Modern Warfare. The Ground War was actually pretty popular. A lot of people really liked that. People who didn't necessarily like the like super confined maps of Call of Duty like the Ground War. Modern Warfare 2 is coming out this year. Maybe they will say, hey, we have an opportunity here. Let's invest a little bit more in this Ground War mode. Have maybe a couple different types of vehicles. Have maybe a little bit more destruction. A lot of players. Some decent Ground War maps, and then guess what?
The bar is pretty low. Yeah, as long as it like, doesn't crash.
Yeah, hey, exactly. and it's just like something for the Battlefield players to do because they're not playing Battlefield 2042. That's for sure.
That's right.
That's absolutely right. GG. Let's move on to Horizon Forbidden West. Now, this is some of the craziest drama ever. The game is getting canceled on Twitter. Why? Because they reused an animation kind of like God of War. If you guys remember, God of War...
The canoe one,
Yeah, God of War
was
the exact
same thing. It's the exact same thing happening again.
Yeah, exactly. So you get in the canoe, you push the boat out on the water, you jump in, and they're like, wait a second, that's the same...
I've seen that before.
And they did the same thing when you rappel, you rappel in for Horizon Forbidden West. You do this rappel animation, you jump off, you throw the rappel down or like the grappling hook, whatever you want to call it. And it's the exact same animation. So what? Am I brain dead here and like I can't see the problem? Because for me, I don't care even a little bit. Not even a
tiny bit. When
you make
a product that works, do you invest the capital to replace it? Do you fix the things that work well in your house?
No,
you fix the things that are freaking broken. I do not understand the criticism here. I just don't get it. If that animation works, why on God's green earth would you want to invest the manpower and capital to revamp it when you could be inventing new things for the game?
Can I play devil's advocate for a little bit here?
But you'll be wrong.
I know. But not to say that I agree with these, because I would never like call, be like, oh, it's the same animation. I don't really care that much. But I will just make the argument that like the game has to be good to get away with that, in the sense that like Horizon Forbidden West, from everything it appears to be, looks to be a substantial, huge game, new location, new enemies, all that stuff. And if that's the case and it's a banger, people are going to forget about this in no time. In no time.
Right.
But if it's a bad game, if it flops, if it's something like Battlefield 2042, people are going to go back and say, this game sucks. Look, they're too lazy to change the animation. And then it will hurt. It's like, because your guys' entire argument is like, why would you keep this? You should. But if they don't put effort into the rest of the stuff, if they do what, you know, Game Freak did with the latest Pokemon game, and it's like kind of a lazy, then people are going to be pissed, because then they're going to come back and say, you couldn't even change the animations. So I think it's a little bit of a double-edged sword. I totally agree spending resources elsewhere, but then you're going to need to make sure your game is substantial so people don't notice this stuff.
I see what you mean. I think it's different, though, if you're like reusing enemies that you're fighting and like they have no new attacks and it's just like copy and pasted and stuff.
Like if we were fighting Skolas again for another raid, you know.
It's interesting. It is interesting because I mostly agree with you guys, but then I started to think about it, it's like, you know, Call of Duty comes out, and there's another M4. You know, there's a M4 in every, or an AK-47. There's an AK-47 in every damn Call of Duty. But each one is, like, a little bit different. And then, like, imagine if they literally did the exact asset, like a complete asset one-for-one extraction from the previous game. And they're like, it's an AK. It reloads the same. It's the same damn gun. What do you want from us? feel like people would be annoyed because they're like, wait a minute, like, this is a new game. I want a new reload, a slightly different reload animation. I want a slightly different looking weapon.
You know what and I mean? The animation looks slightly different. It looks cleaner, crisper.
Is it? Okay.
Like, it's all updated. It's not. It doesn't look like it's several years old. Yeah. It looks like it's a next-gen animation. So even though it is the same movement, okay, the environment has changed. The landscape changed. Her outfit, different. The grappling hook itself looks different than it looked back then. You know what I'm saying? Like, it has been updated. It's just the same. It's the same movement.
I guess in my example, too, I feel like, again, if it was a one-for-one pace in Call of Duty, even you guys would be like, I can't believe they copied the same example. But I feel like then it's so much more noticeable now that I'm thinking, because it would literally be like 1 year to the next. It's like you were just playing the previous version and using the previous AK-47, and now you have the new version with the same. You would be like, wait a minute, but like Horizon, it's been several years now at this point, right? Mm-hmm. And so I guess it's like, it's a little bit of a different vibe than that. And it's also like, it's not so in your face as like, you know, a gun animation. It's like, you're literally holding it. It's like so noticeable. You notice everything about it. Whereas like that animation, it's like during an action sequence that you might not even do too many times in the game.
See, Destiny, they bypass this whole problem by just not making the sequels. They're like, yeah, exactly. No, let's just keep it Destiny 2.
Yeah.
You know? So we're still reusing assets that are 5 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we haven't made a sequel, you know what I'm saying?
It is interesting because we do kind of see similar thing in Destiny, right? Like, they're bringing back, they just announced that the two new Nightfall weapons in the Witch Queen are year one weapons. The Silicon Nechroma Sniper and the Duty Bound.
Yes, the Duty Bound.
So, some people are upset by that. They're like, I want new weapons. I'm one of the people... every time I post, I call it, like, you know, new Nightfall weapons revealed, because obviously these are the new Nightfall weapons for next season. I've had this, I forget who it is, it's like a smaller YouTuber, he always like gets mad at me, he's like, they're not new weapons, like, they're in the game, like, you can't call them new weapons. I'm like, but they're like completely redone perks, like, they're getting completely new roles,
and
99%
right.
of people who are playing now didn't even have them in year one.
And, like, that's exactly right.
And according to the Google Trends, when people are like searching this, they search new Nightfall weapons. They don't search returning Nightfall weapons to be technically correct.
What? They're typing in reissued.
So, yeah, no one's searching reissued Nightfall weapons. It's like, bro, like, I'm going to name it the most common search phrase, like, obviously. But they technically, if you want to get real anal about it, they're right about, like, it is technically the Duty Bound. It's going to be called the Duty Bound. It looks like the Duty Bound. It has the same animations. And so there is a fraction of people that are like, I don't want that. I want a completely new thing. And then there's a huge other, like, I'm part of the nuts fraction that's like, dude, if it's new perks, it's a new thing. So, like,
it's
even
a new
in Destiny,
thing to chase. Yes.
We do have to deal with that, where it's like, people do, it's like, some people just want a completely new thing. And other people don't care, so it's just something that is going to come up in games.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, like you said, as long as Guerrilla Games is swinging for the fences with this game, and they're being innovative in other places, which obviously, just off of the trailers we've seen, they are. I mean, they really seem to be highlighting the changes to, like, the water biomes and combatants in those areas as well. Like, even just today they released a trailer with Aloy jumping into the water to get away from some big monster, just to find these water monsters, you know. But it looks like they are being ambitious in trying to expand on what was working. So as long as they deliver there, I'm not too worried about it. Like I said earlier, I was hesitant to be optimistic about games because it tends to bite me in the butt, but I can't help but be optimistic about this one. Even though I've only done two playthroughs of Zero Dawn, but they were just so good. They were so fun and so enjoyable, so immersive, that I feel really positive about this one.
I like how you say only two playthroughs. Like, that's a good amount of time to, like,
it is.
Commit to it.
Like, I mean, in terms of, like, a return on your investment, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, KJ Hovey was playing it the other day. He was playing the original Horizon Zero Dawn, and he was playing it, and he got clapped by a Thunderjaw. It was a good time. Yeah, it was fun. So
IGN just tweeted out like 3 hours ago. So Sony just talking about Sony wants to help its latest acquisition, Bungie, turn its franchises into movies, quote, so that their IP can flourish and grow big. So
heck yeah,
wow.
That's literally what we were talking about. How like it's not Sony is more than PlayStation. Like now that Sony owns Bungie, they can use Sony Studios to make these the Destiny the show that comes out on Netflix or whatever. Huge. Like it's exactly what happened with The Witcher.
I'm making a second channel, boys. M-Tash FPS, Rumble King. I don't know.
Maybe M-Tash it's FPS is not a bad idea. And then just put all your FPS. Like, you can play like a bunch of FPSs and put them there.
Yeah. And then I got my anime games. Yeah. You know, I got a good mix now.
Interesting.
I think we covered all those topics pretty thoroughly. We had a lot of topics today. It was actually kind of nice.
Yeah, it was fun. We could hop around.
We could do a little bit of RGH After Dark if you guys are feeling it.
Yeah, let's do a little bit. RGH After Dark is where you guys, the viewers, go ahead, ask us some questions. We're going to do your best to answer them in the chat. And obviously, we're going to give priority to our lovely members who support us. If you want to become a member, just click that join button. It's right beside the subscribe button. And we do want to thank our sponsor that you saw me get a life-saving supply of, Advanced GG. My wife literally brought me some Advanced GG. I drank it because I was like yawning. I haven't yawned since. I feel great now because Advanced GG gives you the energy you need. Hit up their website, just Google Advanced GG, advanced.gg, I think, is just goes to their website. And then just use code RGH. Tash needs some Advanced GG. Code RGH gets you a discount and supports all three of us.
You see, I was doing good, but listening to you talk is draining.
Shut up, dude. So now, go start another dead channel. How you know it's talking about starting a channel? How's the new MTash channel, New World Tips and Tricks? How's that channel doing?
Hey, it did really well, but yeah? The game died. So my one video had 10,000 views. Are you kidding me?
Sheesh.
I was kicking ass, but... Yeah, no,
I'm worried about it because you make a new channel, then Destiny's gonna die. You're gonna give it the M-Tash curse.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, I'll be putting everyone in
Jeopardy.
In Jeopardy, yeah.
TV knows we'll what the see. First question is. It was old fashioned, Angostura bitters, orange bitters, whiskey, simple syrup, orange peel garnish.
Nailed it.
I will say a little donation just said, I'm surprised Call of Duty hasn't used the AK-100 series. Yeah, I mean, the AK-14, AK-105, there's a lot of new modern AKs that they'll call it the AK-47. It'll be in a modern chassis, a modern platform. I think, though, it's like most people don't know as much about firearms, so they just have the AK-47, everyone calls everything the AK-47. The AK-47 is unbelievably rare. Like, if you have an original AK-47, it's like a collector's item. It's worth a crap ton of money. Most of them are just AKMs, which is a stamped sheet metal version of that.
Right, right.
So, but it's like, no one wants to call it an AKM because you want an AK-47. So, like, it'll be modeled in a game exactly after an AKM, but it'll be called the AK-47 because everyone, because of pop culture, just calls
most
AK-47.
Most people buying an AK-47 these days is the equivalent of Mr. Paul buying Pokemon cards. He's like, these are the originals, right? These are the real thing, right?
Yeah, well, if you're buying an AK-47, you're gonna be I think you are gonna be paying attention. But I'm talking about in video games, right? Like, no matter what it's modeled after, it's called the AK-47. Like in the Call of Duty, it has like a rail system and all this modern stuff. And it's still called the AK-47. Like, you mean from 1947? Like, this is the AK that has a modern Picatinny rail system? Like, I don't think so, buddy. And a red dot sight? Like, I don't know about this one, Chief.
Do you guys feel like Battlefield 2042 is going to end up like Anthem? I don't... I'm going to be real. I am a lover of Battlefield, and I actually enjoy playing 2042 when I can play it. But the short answer is yes. I don't see 2042 experiencing a significant revival at this point. I think 2042 is dead on arrival.
Man. They're never going to cancel Battlefield. Like, you got to understand, Battlefield has released a lot of successful games, and I even think they probably turned a profit with 2042 just on initial sales. So I don't think it's, like, in danger of, like, getting completely canceled, like, Anthem. But yeah, do you see the small drama going on between Tassie and Angry Joe show?
What? No.
No?
Let me see. I'm
Put
interested
that in
now.
Chat right now. What?
Give me a link.
Give me a link that
Give
in
me
chat.
A link.
Right now, dude. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Angry Joe this week apparently said nobody's playing Destiny. And,
oh, that's probably what it is then.
And, which I'm going to be, okay, I'm going to play both sides of the argument here. On one side of the argument, if you genuinely think Destiny is a dead game, that is an admission that you know nothing about gaming. You aren't actually looking at numbers, statistics, data points, none of that. You don't care about any of that. You're just saying, this is how I feel about Destiny, so this is the way that everybody else feels about Destiny. It's being lazy at it's, you know, at best case scenario, you're just being lazy. Worst case scenario, you don't know jack crap about gaming, and you think that you do. But to play the other side of the fence, Angry Joe is a character. He's not a person. He's a character. Okay, right. He is playing a role.
And he doesn't.
He has. And listen, if he wanted to give thoughtful and accurate advice and reviews about video games, that market's already covered. You know, he's competing against IGN. He's competing against GameSpot. He's competing against all these people that already do that. That's not what he does. He's Angry Joe. It's in the name. He's going to crap talk everything. Okay? So,
yeah,
anyways.
He does say some, like, he makes a lot of good points, absolutely. But, yeah, like, I'm not surprised he has a hot take. Angry Joe has a hot take. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it was during the news shows. What news show?
Joe said nobody's playing Destiny besides Paul Tassie, and then Tassie tagged Joe in the 1 million pre-orders. Drama.
Lamau. So that doesn't sound like. Obviously, if you would call him out like that, like I think Joe's probably being a little facetious as well. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just like, no one's playing except Paul Tassie. Like I don't think Joe is like probably just like doing a funny shot. I don't think he like is actually. You know, mad about anything, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
actually, someone. Oh, I think I found it. Ayo, Angry Joe.
I'm reading the thread right now.
I'm seeing right now. I don't think he replied.
Angry Joe, he gets flown out to every game launch and like reveal. And I think it's probably just because they're like, but we'll be the ones that he actually likes. He'll actually like our game.
Angry Joe posted a 40-minute video talking about the Sony acquisition of Bungie. Jeez.
What? He hasn't played Destiny in like 4 years. Like, what does he have to say?
What meaningful could he offer, honestly, other than the take of an outsider? Hey,
I'm not one to critique. It's free content. If you want to make it, like, go for it. And I'm just surprised to see that he would even, like, care. I don't, like...
It's $4 billion. It's a pretty big purchase, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he's questioning, like, is it just because of Destiny, or is there something else going on here, right?
Some random woman said, Rick, can we get Dairy Queen, please? Her name is Cheyenne. Never seen her before in my life. But
oh, that would be so
relax.
Nice.
Relax.
Joe claimed it was a joke, but the way that he said it in the vid came across more serious. Yeah, my guess is, and this is, I haven't watched it. I will say that. So disclaimer, I haven't watched it. My assumption is that he probably said what he felt was true without knowing what was actually true.
But he's also, he's obviously wrong because the game's obviously making a lot of money. But it is like compared to Genshin Impact, especially when it first came out, compared to Warzone, Destiny is like, you know, a little bit of a smaller fish to fry. Like there's just these behemoth games that have so many players, even Apex Legends, stuff like that, Minecraft, you know, like who's the top YouTubers for Destiny? Like Datto, me, I guess we have like, 1 million subscribers.
Not for long.
Dream Plays Minecraft is like 10 million subscribers, like just absolutely pop 1 million views every single video. It's like, so you do, when you compare those communities, it's like, okay, Destiny is still, it is on the, it's not dead by any means, but it's also like, not like the top notch.
Yeah, it's like either. you're in the top, right in the middle. You're in the top 1% of games. But you're not Minecraft. You know what I mean?
But you're still in the top
1%.
No, you're right.
It'd be like saying to a multimillionaire, like, you're not Jeff Bezos. The multimillionaire is like, are you? Like, you know, I'm pretty high up on the pole.
Wait, someone said the Jez said Rick is giving him some competition in the forehead department. Bro, yeah, I got a freaking wicked five head right here, brother.
Ooh. Did you see that in his video the other day?
It's because, I didn't. Someone in the chat said it.
Yeah, he was doing a Keep sponsorship, and he roasted you.
Bro!
Oh, no, this. That's hilarious.
My hair is not going anywhere, but it just starts back here. It's because I'm a... Tell the Jez it's because I'm actually a Dracula, my real name.
Dude, so if he wants to throw some shade. The sponsors that want to work with me, it's like, hey, I really appreciate you're interested in me, but it also like speaks to me and my audience. They're like, let's go with like, you know, Manscaped, people who want to take, yeah, like male hygiene, and Keeps is like hair loss and eye vision products. It's like, right, it's just old man stuff, you know?
I said no to Keeps because I was like, I'm not losing my hair like the Jez. Like, I mean, look at the back of that guy. This guy got no cowlick. It's cow licked off. I mean, that's what the Jez is doing there. But I was like, I said no, but now I'm like, dude, I don't know. Maybe
I've worked with Keeps a few times. They're actually really cool people. They're really great people.
I should just do it.
I don't have hair loss problems, but I understand that, like, see, I don't necessarily do gigs based off of who I am. I do gigs based off of who my audience is. Like, I'll look at the analytics.
See, all of my audience, though, is, like, extremely handsome and has great hairlines, okay? That's just who the cag is.
Listen, handsome people lose their hair, too.
No, well, I mean, I guess the Jez is, so...
Whoa! It was one little joke. Leave him alone.
Back off my man, the Jez.
He came after me first. He started first. He didn't tell me.
Did you know that him and I recorded a Naraka Blade Point sponsorship without you the other day?
No way. Shut up. I would cry. I'd start crying, dude. I don't know if I could be saying this. Apparently, yeah, they want all three of us for another triple whammy.
It's like that scene from Scott Pilgrim. It's like when Kakis showed up at your door last weekend. He's like, hey, it's like you see the Jez diving out of a window of your house. You're like, seriously, man. Come on in.
Literally, dude.
Awkward.
Hold on, I'm going to say Bungie deal is very bad for Sony and annoys the Destiny player base. Jim Ryan screwed up. Mark my words. Maybe, like, we're all pretty positive about it because... The thing is, Bungie keeps saying that they've maintained all of their anonymity. They're like, we have creative control and more money. We do whatever the hell we want. So that's obviously autonomy, good.
More money.
At the same time, Bungie kind of almost makes it seem that Sony just paid them $3.6 billion to just keep being you, bro. You know what I mean? It's like, you're really not going to exercise any creative control or, like, I don't know, like...
They want to expand the IP. They want to capitalize on the IP.
I guess that they're like, we'll pay $3.6 billion and it'll be worth $10 billion after we're done making this TV show type of thing. So maybe.
It's no different than an investor saying your product could make a lot of money if you get exposure. I'm gonna fund it so that you can do what you want to do. Like, you know how to do it. I have the money to make it happen. I see it more like that, where Sony's like, you got a good thing going. You don't have the bandwidth that you need to really capitalize on the product you already have. We have capital. Like, we'll throw capital at you, and we're going to get a cut of it, obviously. But that's how I see this relationship. Like, they want to expand into the IP into other areas, but they also want to fund Bungie so that they can make more money off of Bungie's product.
Right.
Yeah. 100%. It's interesting stuff, and it's like... The thing is, you know, we can all speculate. We really won't know until a few years. You know, Microsoft buying Activision doesn't go through till 2023. And then once it does go through, it's going to be several more years until, like, changes are implemented. So really, like, 10 years from now, we're going to be looking back and saying, ah, this is what they did, right? But until then, we really don't know. Because, you know, these ginormous companies do move pretty slowly.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Anyways, boys, I think it's time to wrap up this podcast. We had a lot of great stuff to talk about. But remember, if you're here listening to the podcast, whether it's on Spotify or YouTube, we do a new episode every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The RGH Podcast is the best gaming podcast in the nation. I'm MTash.
I'm Cactus HD.
I'm True Vanguard.
And we'll see you next Wednesday night.